Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Your Book, My Time. If you have listened to other episodes, you have heard me say that I created this Book Show podcast to give voice to women authors. I did this because I grew so much from listening to books on tape in those days and from countless self-help and professional and personal development books that I read over the years. Some of the books that I read were decades old, one of them even more than 100 years old. These books changed my life, and I wanted to give a platform for today's authors, people who think the way we think today, people who live life the way we live today, to have an opportunity to share their wisdom with you to change your life. Today is going to be one of those times. I am so happy to introduce my friend, my colleague, Denise Degal. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
I am so happy to be having this conversation today. Denise is the author of the brand new book, just out, Healthy Living, Happy Life, A Practical Path to Finding the Healthy Lifestyle That Works for You. In this book, she shares three things that have changed her life. And if you get this book and read this book, I promise you they will change yours. Eat real food, make good decisions, and be accountable. Denise, you know I love everything about this, don't you?
I know. And it's been such an amazing journey for me to write this book. And you've known me while I've been on this journey. So I so appreciate your support through all of it. And it's been a learning experience, but it's been so much fun.
Well, fun is what readers will learn if they read your book. Starting from the very beginning, you help us to understand that you can have a happy life, you can live a healthy life, and you can actually have fun doing it. Denise, one of the things that I love about your book is that you offer tips, tools, strategies, personal stories, and your own experience that really has made significant change for you, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think that's why this book is, the way it reads is like you're talking to your best friend, because I've been through it. You know, we've all been through ups and downs in our lives, whether it's weight loss or, you know, not sleeping well, you know, trying to figure out, you know, when you get out of college and, you know, what does exercise look like when you're no longer in organized sport? How do you handle all of these things, and how do you navigate, you know, what other people seem to be doing well with when you may not?
Well, you've begun to answer the first of the three questions that I ask all of my authors. The first question is, what is the story behind your story of writing this book?
You know, it's funny. When I started writing it, I knew I had a message, and I wasn't sure the platform. So I started writing the book because I, at the time, had started to go through a life journey, a new life journey. And I had been to the doctor and he had said, oh, you're fine. Everything, you know, at your age, you know, it's just a phase. So apparently I was going through another phase as a woman, but I couldn't get any really good information. So what I really did was kind of backtracked. My background is hotel restaurant business management with a focus on nutrition. So I really knew the answers that I was looking to others for. So I took my experiences from years before, whether I was in high school, college, or, you know, right out of school, and just started writing, you know, what worked for me after that situation or what worked for me in the past. And so I just started writing about what I knew. And I know that's what they always tell authors, you know, write what you know about.
Yes. Yeah. Now, one thing I noticed, Denise, is that you wrote a bit about the time of being a young professional, or I call it a young professional, maybe a young into a mid-career professional. I wasn't exactly sure of the timeline, but regardless, you, like I was, were a type A, right? Working all the time, and you lost out on things that had formerly supported your life, right?
Absolutely. Things like, one, sleep. Spending time with my friends and family. I went through a period where I kind of felt like I lost a lot of my friends or lost touch with my friends because I was working so many hours. I was working on the weekends where everybody else had a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And on Friday, I'd be on a plane going someplace to run a meeting. I'd get home Sunday night, maybe Monday, and then go back to work the next day. And so my schedule was really, really crazy. And for a while that was fine. But when it started to become month after month, year after year, I realized that lots of things were not working anymore. The amount of time that I was working, I wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating the way I knew how to eat. Like I said, my background is hotel restaurant business management with a focus on nutrition. And I was eating out a lot.
Yeah,
I was eating, you know, grabbing breakfast on the way to the train station. I was eating lunch very often, kind of on the go. And there were evenings where a bowl of cereal was dinner.
Yep. I won't ask if it was sugared cereal or not, but one of the things that I really love that you've shared with us that you say over and over throughout the book is you don't have to do it all now. And of course, that is one of the biggest theses that I share with clients, that you don't have to, and I learned from my own life experience, my own journey, and that if you read through this book, give it a read through, and then look for the chapters that resonate with you and see what things you might be able to start and what things you might be able to do slowly and integrate into your life. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. The first section of the book, the Eat Real Food section, I honestly believe that really is your jumping off point. Because if you're eating real food, meaning your fruits and veggies, whole grains, legumes and beans, nuts and seeds, and your lean meats, you are healthy. You're healthy right then and there because you're eating healthy, nutritious foods. You have more energy. You no longer have tummy issues because when we don't eat right, we often have tummy issues, whether we realize it or not. Mm-hmm. And it affects our sleep. So just by doing that one thing, by focusing on eating real food 80% of the time, I'm a big fan of the 80-20 rule, you've already kickstarted your healthy lifestyle.
Well, one thing we know without a shadow of a doubt that food creates us. I mean, you can survive on oxygen and water for quite a long time. But if you're going to actually live a life, every day you are eating and every single thing you put into your mouth either integrates and reacts with or reacts against your body and especially your gut.
Absolutely. You know, we have so many gut issues in this country. And really, that's actually expanding around the world because of our diet, the way we eat, the processed foods. all of the GMOs and all of the ingredients that we can't actually identify, our body sees as basically an invader. So it attacks the things that it doesn't understand. Like, for example, high fructose corn syrup. I'll pick on that one. That is causing inflammation because your body is saying, oh, what is this? We don't know what this is. We need to get rid of it. And so it essentially attacks that molecule, those cells that are coming into your body, and that causes inflammation. And if you're eating that day after day, like, the inflammation can never go away. Mm. And that is one of the biggest causes of illness and disease today.
So again, I have this platform. I'm sharing authors' messages. It's not that these things have never been said before. In fact, in this day and age, they're being said over and over and over. But the people who follow me and the people who follow you and people who know them are going to hear this message from you. You said reading the book is like having a conversation with your best friend. And one of the things I want to say is that I know you now, Denise, and I love how real you are. And this is evident in working with you and also in the book. It's, you never come across as I know the only ways or every way to do it. Much of what's in your book, it comes from all the wisdom that you've learned and gleaned and gained over your lifetime. But our job today, and speaking directly, personally, right now to anyone who is listening to this podcast by audio or perhaps seeing us by video, is to encourage you to focus on what you can. The second point you make, Denise, part two, is make good decisions. And that's something that I think sometimes feels out of people's control.
Absolutely. So obviously the first step is eat real food and making good choices there, making good decisions, you know, having a salad over a burger at lunchtime. That's an easy one if you're following that eat real food. So that's an easy good decision to make. But then there are things that we can do every single day. They may be small things. Going to bed at a reasonable hour, not binge watching on television, putting our phones down, having a conversation eye to eye with your daughter, son, spouse, mother. Actually, these are good decisions because there's connection. If you're going to bed at a reasonable time, you're going to get enough sleep. When you sleep, you feel good the next day. And all of these small decisions, these good decisions, all add up. So all of this positivity just kind of goes in a nice positive circle. Obviously, on the flip side, if you're doing all making not so good decisions, it counters and it goes in the wrong direction. So for each good decision you make, you move the needle forward towards that healthy, happy life that you're looking for. Because all of us want to live, we all want to be healthy. No one wants to say, oh, I feel horrible all the time. When we feel good, when we're healthy, we feel good. When we feel good, we have more energy. We like who we are. We like what we're doing. The positivity cycle just keeps going. So making good decisions doesn't have to be this huge life-changing decision right now. All of these small decisions equal that one big one. And in time, you'll look back and go, I did all of these things. Wow. I'm making good decisions.
I talk about this all the time with my clients. This is one of those times where I want to say that I love engaging and promoting other people who are doing similar work to mine. I'm not in the competition game. I'm in the engagement game, offering. Honestly, there's so much need. There can never be enough messaging or tips and tools or books and podcasts about this kind of content. Now, we have to move into my favorite part, which is part three, which is be accountable. So Denise knows that I am big on accountability.
Yes, you are.
Everything in my life changed as I became more accountable to my healthy and happy self, Denise, because I was accountable. I was tied to the achieving self. So I've always been in accountability, right? Because I was always an achiever or an overachiever. But as you, as you indicated, that doesn't always go well. And so I learned to bring accountability to my spiritual wellness, my emotional well-being. And so this is part three. And in part three, we find my favorite chapter, which is on confidence or self-confidence, as you say. Why did you include this in your book about healthy living, happy life?
Truly, if you want to be healthy, we think healthy, we think just physical. But being healthy means, you know, healthy body, healthy mind, healthy spirit. And self-confidence, when you are confident in who you are and what you believe, that positivity grows. You feel good about yourself. You are making those good decisions is easier, but you have to know what self-confidence is. And if you're lacking in that area, how to take steps to improve self-confidence, make yourself feel more confident. Even if you have doubts, we all have doubts. But that doesn't mean you can't be confident in who you are and what you believe. And I think that is such an important part of living a healthy life, is knowing who you are here, obviously up here, but it really is who you are here. And if you're confident, you can stand in your truth and say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. And decisions actually are so much easier to make.
So a couple of things. Number one, we're talking about values. Right? Values prioritization. You talk about this in the book, your own personal values. And in my language, it's soul. When you say here, this is heart. And then for me, the soul is all the way down in the core, you know, of our being. And I call this soul healing. So many, and you described it perfectly in the book when you talked about sometimes we have a lack of self-confidence because of the inner critic. And sometimes the inner critic comes from things that might have been said to us decades ago, actually, that we didn't even realize became integrated. And then the soul actually, you know, sort of is affected by those things. And then the soul dims down and shrinks a little bit. And the self-confidence that you're talking about actually helps the soul rise. And that is the nature of my work as well. You did share in the book something that your mother said, even though she was living and it wasn't intentional. I think it was a really good example. It was a really good example because it doesn't seem to me, per what I read in the book, that you had an abusive, narcissistic, bullying mother. You had a loving mother who used words that actually had ramifications. What were those words?
So yes, my mother is amazing. She's still amazing. And she still uses this phrase. And the phrase is, well, that's dumb. And the way she said it wasn't mean or
it
just was, you know, depending on what the situation was. And usually whatever the reason she said it, because whatever I did or my sister did was pretty dumb. But the challenge was, we already knew that. And the fact that she was pointing it out to us was hard. And that was the part that was like, did she say that? I'm like, I know that.
There's another angle to this, and that is what Don Miguel Ruiz calls be impeccable with your word, because we hear words and words actually affect us, even if they weren't clearly not intended in a negative way, they still can. Likewise, and you talk about this in the self-confidence chapter as well, we hear the words that come out of our mouth as well.
Right.
And that is really, truly important. So I really loved that you talk about self-confidence and then you distinguish between self-confidence and self-esteem.
Yes, the words seem to be very interchangeable, but when you look at self-confidence, you know, you can be confident that, you know, I can walk across the street. You know, I'm confident that I can do that. But if you have low self-esteem, like that is really That is very deep seat, even more deep seated than not being confident in who you are. But that self-esteem is truly, in my eyes, what ruins people. And it could be, again, it could be because somebody said something. It could be the circumstance that they grew up in and that they never really got out of. Self-esteem is just one of those things that can make or break somebody so easily. And I've seen it happen. I've never really had much challenge with that, except there have been times in life where, maybe I did.
Yeah.
And, and I look back and I think I've always been a pretty confident person. I've always had pretty good self-esteem, but there were times in life where situation wasn't quite right. Like we were talking earlier, when I was working so much and I lost touch with my friends. And, I remember New Year's Eve's like two in a row where my New Year's Eve date was my nephew, who was like 3 and 4, because I wasn't close to anybody. I didn't have those connections. So my self-esteem in that regard, when it came to relationship, was actually quite low. And those are hard times to think back on. But making some changes, making some good decisions, I was able to, pick myself up and move forward and work on that self-esteem issue.
I love that we're speaking this out. I really do. I am the confidence coach. I help women in the second half of life, in life and business. And self-esteem is an issue that I come across quite a bit, because when you've spent the last 20 to 30 years even outside of yourself giving to other people, and you're so depleted inside, and now you're looking ahead at your future, and you don't feel qualified to do things, or you're not sure what you want to do or whatever. It's a very big aspect of what I work with. So I want to say that I really love that you share simple tools that anyone can do. Two of my favorite, which I write about quite a bit as well, I teach them, I speak about them, and I always use them in my coaching: visualization and affirmations. So it's no, after I read it, I don't know that we ever talked about it, you and I together, but when I read it in your book, I virtually laughed out loud, like, of course Denise knows about visualization. You were an athlete. In the book, you tell the story of being a dancer and really visualizing the routines. Mm-hmm. And I use visualization actively myself in my life all the time. I did it recently, Denise, where I was I knew that I was going to do something that was going to be emotionally difficult. Mm-hmm. And I just like you said in your book, I chose the thoughts I wanted to have. And right. Then I visualized through, and then I used the other tool you talk about, which is, of course, affirmations. Mm-hmm. I love everything about all of this, Denise.
Affirmations are funny, because when I first started into more the health and wellness world, my background is nutrition, so I've been a health coach for a long time. But when I started to migrate more into wellness, and people started to talk to me about affirmations, and I have a friend who has an affirmation. It's like a whole paragraph, and he's memorized it, and it's his mantra now. It's actually quite funny, because you'll ask him and he'll just stop and he'll just rattle it off. Mine are a little bit more simple. For example, I have something here on my desk that says, I am strong, I am able, I am capable, I am awesome, I am confident, I am beautiful, I am loved. Because these are things every now and then that we wonder about, do I really feel strong? Am I really able to do this? Sometimes, your confidence can waver. And by saying those affirmations and saying them out loud with gusto, it changes your brain chemistry. And this, just when I say it, I feel powerful and excited. And even if I kind of don't feel that great one day, I say those affirmations and I am raring and ready to go.
I am such an advocate of this affirmations because I'm a very cerebral person. So I was very much in my head all the time. And so affirmations are a way where you can transform thoughts from the negative thoughts that we have, negative limiting beliefs, somebody called them, you call it your inner critic, from the negative to the positive. I just shared with my VA a couple of tools that I have on changing the way that you think. And affirmations are really one way to do that. You do say in your book something that's important, which is you don't make up stuff that is so out of reach and so unbelievable and unimaginable that it really has no effect, but rather you, what I say is my two-part seminal soul question, who do I want to be and how do I want to be? And you just shared that out with us in your affirmations. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, you know, that a lot of people say, oh, fake it till you make it. And I can see a bit of truth in that. I can see that. It's never worked for me. Because if I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm a multimillionaire and I'm, you know, flying my own jet, you know, that's what I want. If I say that in an I am, I'm lying to myself because I am not that, but I am strong and I am able. So I think it's really important to kind of stay in your lane. The lanes change as you grow and evolve, and that's great.
Well, I just want to say that if you read this book to our listeners and viewers, if you read this book, your lane will grow and evolve. It will shapeshift along the way. And so that's really what I call maturing in life. So we've clearly gotten through the second question, which is, why is your book worth my time? I read the book. I'll be reading it again. I love the tools that you're sharing. But I do want to ask you, what do you want people to do as a result of reading your book?
I want people to realize that the power is in their hands and to make one change. Start with one. Make that one change that is for you, not for anybody else. This is time to be selfish. It's your life. You're creating your own life every single day, and you want it to be a good life, a happy life, a healthy life. So pick one thing. Read the book. Read it through, pick one of the ideas, one of the, whether it's eat real food, make good decisions, or be accountable. Again, I always say start with real food, but if that's not your challenge, then that's okay too. And what I really think is important when you read the book and you pick one, go to the book resource page. In the book, there's a QR code, and it'll send you directly to the resource page where there's some additional handouts and things that will help you along the way that just couldn't fit in the book.
Right. Well, we just have another minute or two left, but I would like to say that I am an expert on livinghealthylist.com. And another thing that you can do is go to Denise's program and platform, livinghealthylist.com, and find so many experts in so many health and wellness areas. Denise, what do you want to say about livinghealthylist.com?
Livinghealthylist.com is your resource for health, wellness, personal development, and bringing more fun into life. We, the experts, bring you honest, reliable, and unbiased information that you're already looking for online. We've just brought it to one place, livinghealthylist.com. And while you're there, check out our online magazine.
The online magazine is beautiful. I love everything you're doing, Denise. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think that we're probably going to have a part two of this discussion where we might delve deeper into some of the tools and tips that you're already offering. And I will look forward to that. Thank you, Denise. Take good care.
I think that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate you, Susan.
My pleasure. See you soon.